Broadcasting coast to coast and border to border from Memphis, Tennessee. It's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging deplorable.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
And hello, America. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. What an honor to have you with us today. Border to border, coast to coast, across the fruited plain. Folks, we've got a lot going on and a lot of ground to cover over the next 3 hours of the program. Even have a few trivia questions to sprinkle into the mix. Go ahead and write down our toll-free telephone number. You will need this today, 844-747-8868. Again, that's a toll-free telephone number, 844-747-8868. Our live show blog is up and running over at toddstarnes.com. And for all of our new listeners, this is where you will find information about all of our guests, links to all of their social media platforms. You're going to be able to find that over at toddstarnes.com. Well, I want to warn you about something that's about to happen in this country, folks. If I am reading the political tea leaves correctly, we are on the verge of yet another shutdown in America, and this is going to be a big deal because before the first shutdown happened, at least you had Fox News Channel on your side. At least you had a lot of Republicans on your side. I don't believe that is going to be the case the next time this happens, and I suspect it is just around the corner. So I want to break down a couple of things that have happened over the past 24 hours. Joe Biden, at his town hall meeting over on CNN, the most profane name in news, had this to say about the China virus. He said, everybody must get vaccinated. Everybody has a responsibility, a patriotic duty to get vaccinated. Now you have folks on Fox News Channel that are spewing the Joe Biden propaganda, including the primetime lineup, Sean Hannity, taking a big turn. And now I know Hannity is firing back at his critics, and he's calling us idiots. But the reality is he certainly had a change of viewpoint. Now, he said, I've always said that I'm not your doctor. Well, yeah, we get that. But there's clearly been a change in tone and tenor on Fox News Channel. There's no doubt about that. Everybody's talking about it on social media. And for them to come after all of us for pointing it out, it's a little silly. This is, again, one of the reasons why so many people are switching over to Newsmax. They've just had it with Fox. They're all over the place. And people have said, you know what, that's it. We're going over to Newsmax. So Biden is out there saying, you've got to get the vaccine. Most Americans are not getting the vaccine. They're just not. As a matter of fact, in Alabama, two-thirds of the state yet to be vaccinated. So your governor, listen up, folks in Alabama, your governor, Kay Ivey, who is a Republican, is now shaming those of you who have not been vaccinated. And she says, you guys need to be held accountable. You guys need to be called out. All right, fine. Here's my question. So there's this idea that we should start publicly shaming people who refuse to get the vaccine. Where do you draw the line? And for that matter, why is it your business whether or not I've gotten the vaccine? Are we supposed to go around now and ask people if, you know, they've had, you know, a vaccine for this or that? Have they had their flu shots? Are we supposed to go out there and ask people if they've had their flu shots? Are we supposed to go out there and ask people, sir, proclaim to the world, do you or have you ever had AIDS? Are we supposed to do that now? Is that what we're supposed to do? Are we supposed to go out there and ask people if they've had sexually transmitted diseases? Where do you draw the line in all of this? So now you've got the governor of Alabama, and she's saying that we need to, that you people, you unvaccinated people are the problem in America. Now, I just don't buy that. For one thing, I don't believe we are. I believe that people are smart enough to make decisions for themselves and for their families. And when you look at the data, and the data is out there, if you want to go looking for it, you can find it. It is safe to say, and again, there are other talk show hosts out there saying a million people have died, you know, after taking the vaccine. No, I don't believe that to be true. Again, where's the evidence of that? But there is evidence to suggest that hundreds of Americans have died after getting the vaccine. There is factual evidence to back that up. And the argument that, and if you bring this up, they'll say, yes, but millions have not. Okay, well, that's great. But if you're one of the hundreds who did, yeah, that's not so good for you. And I think it's fair to ask the CDC, to ask the World Health Organization, hey, wait a second. How is it that a perfectly healthy person, let's just take the 13-year-old kid in Michigan, perfectly healthy 13-year-old kid goes in for the second virus vaccine, and what happens? A couple of days later, the kid drops dead. And they don't want to say that it's from the vaccine. All right, that's the problem here. So, and just understand this. People have been dropping dead all over the country. The flu deaths in America, usually 40, 50,000 people a year die of the flu in America. Hardly anybody's dying of the flu in America anymore. Why is that? Hardly anybody in America is dying of pneumonia anymore. Why is that? Hardly anybody in America is getting hit by a bus anymore. Why is that? Hardly anybody in America is dying from a gunshot wound. Why is that? Because they're all being labeled as China virus deaths. There, I said it. Somebody had to say it. Nobody wants to talk about this, but we have for quite some time on this program, and we have documented this. We have documented evidence from state health officials from Colorado to New York where these medical examiners have admitted that people who have been hit by a bus, they've been killed, their death was classified not as some sort of a pedestrian accident, but by the China virus. We've been talking about this for a long time on the program, that maybe, just maybe, the government is making more of this virus than should be made. So here's what's going to happen. In Memphis, Tennessee, just a few moments ago, I'll see if I can't pull this up on the Twitter. Joyce Peterson, who's one of the good reporters in Memphis, Tennessee, and we've got some good reporters in this part of the country. She posted a story, and I want to read this to you, just again to explain where all of this is going. Here we go. This is from the Shelby County Health Department. This is Memphis, Tennessee, population of 1.3 million people. Today, the number of new COVID cases jumped. So the day before yesterday, it was 160 cases, right? 160 cases, 1.3 million people. And what are they trying to do? They've been telling everybody here, you got to mask up. You got to mask up. You got to mask up. Where's Grace Baker? Grace, you're out and about. You're a very sociable person.
Yeah.
Most people are not wearing a face mask around here.
Nope. And I'll tell you, it's way too hot for all that.
Way too hot. It's like 90,000 degrees outside.
And add the humidity.
With the humidity, you can't breathe.
No way.
On a good day.
Yes.
So, Grace, so they're telling us day before yesterday, 160 cases mm-hmm. of the China virus. Yesterday, bumped up to 259. Guess what today's case number is?
What is it?
2,338. Mm. So how do you go from 160 cases on Wednesday to 2,338 cases today?
I have a feeling someone's not very good at math.
Right? Exactly. So what's going on here, folks? I'll tell you what's going on. They are setting the narrative, and we're watching all of this unfold, and I'm trying to take you along and walk you through all of this. But now, and this is the problem, now it's not just the Democrats. Now you've got Fox News Channel leading the charge. Now you have some of these Republican governors. Thank God for Ron DeSantis. He got out there yesterday and had a press conference yesterday afternoon and said, we're not making the kids wear the face masks. We're not going to do that. And you know why? You know why, Florida? Because our children, Florida children, the Floridians, need to be able to breathe. And it's true. They need oxygen. It's very hard to breathe in the South in the summertime. Governor Ivey said, I want to read this to you. Let's be crystal clear about this. The new cases of COVID are because of unvaccinated folks. Almost 100% of the new hospitalizations are with unvaccinated folks, and the deaths are occurring with the unvaccinated folks. These folks are choosing a horrible lifestyle of self-inflicted pain. And she's wanting to put the blame on all of you people who have yet to take the virus vaccine. CNN, they went to some place in Arkansas, and you knew this was going to happen. They went and talked to the countryest of country folk in Arkansas, and all of a sudden, those two folks, who are just as country and redneck as can be, became the poster children for all of us who have not gotten the vaccine. As if we're all a bunch of backwoods rednecks who can't speak, we don't have any teeth, we walk around barefoot on our dirt floors and our shacks. That's what they want you to think about people who have not been vaccinated, that there's something wrong with you. You know, they do that all the time. Whenever the tornadoes hit, they go to the nearest trailer park and they haul some. You've seen the TV, the video. It's ridiculous. Governor Ivey says you people are supposed to have common sense. And here's the money bite. It's time to start blaming the unvaccinated folks. Not the regular folks. It's the unvaccinated folks that are letting us down. So all of you people out there who are not getting the vaccine, you are letting down your governor in Alabama. You're letting down your community. You're letting down your state. You're letting down your country. You are unpatriotic. That's what they're trying to tell you. There is going to be a knock on the door, and they're going to demand to know from you, have you had the virus vaccine? And if you have not, there will be a price to pay for that. So something's going on here, folks, and I just want to warn you, if I'm reading this correctly, they are setting us up for another shutdown. And this shutdown is probably going to happen late into the year and will go into the year 2022. And what, ladies and gentlemen, is happening in the year 2022? 844-747-8868. When push comes to shove, what are you going to do here, folks? Are you going to get the vaccine? Are you going to let the government come in and shut down your homes, your business, your community, your schools, your church? Because this is where it's going. This is where all of this is headed, and we are on a fast track. 844-747-8868. We'll be right back.
About to back up and bring it. It's Todd Starnes.
So I was trying to find a part for my Cadillac the other day, but instead of going down to the auto store, I went online to rockauto.com and I saved a ton of money. You know, chain stores have different price tiers for the professional mechanics and the do-it-yourselfers, but RockAuto.com's prices are the same for everybody and are reliably low. RockAuto.com offers the lowest prices possible rather than changing prices based on what the market will bear, just like the airlines do. RockAuto.com is for everybody, and it does not require membership or an account to log in. The best part about it, RockAuto.com is a family business. They've been serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. So go to rockauto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. And best of all, prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. And here's what I also want you to do. Write Starnes, S-T-A-R-N-E-S, and their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that I sent you to rockauto.com. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. So look, here's the deal. The vaccinated people are upset with the unvaccinated people, because they're afraid the unvaccinated people are going to give them the China virus. And you say, well, wait a second, Todd, how can the vaccinated people get the China virus if they've been vaccinated? And that, ladies and gentlemen, is the question of the day. And that's why people are just saying, hey, wait a second, let's just wait and figure all of this out. Let's just wait. But now you've got people, news anchors on Fox News Channel, that are calling you guys out and saying, you've got to get the virus. And it will not be long. You mark my words. It will not be long before the Fox News crowd starts shaming all of you conservatives. It is a new day at the Fox News corner of the world. All right, let's go to the phones here. 844-747-8868. Scott, Conway, Arkansas. And Scott, I got to tell you, that CNN report, they made the entire state of Arkansas look like a bunch of backwoods hillbillies.
You know what, Todd? Some of us probably are. But here's the thing, and you and I have spoken before. You know what? They're setting up the narrative for the 2022 midterms. That's exactly what they're doing. They did the same thing before the election. They did the same thing. They started this talk of shutdowns, masks, and things. The next thing you know, well, we've got to have voting and by-mail ballots and everything. That's all they're doing. They're getting ready. They couldn't get H.R. 1 passed, Todd. They couldn't get it. So what do? They resort to the same tactics they use. And you know what? Those rhino Republicans who are cushy in their jobs because they like where they are and they don't care, they're not going to be any help because they're afraid to death of Ron DeSantis or Donald Trump. You and I both know that.
Scott, I think there's one group they're even more scared of, and that is the conservative base of the party, the base that put Donald Trump in office. And that's why they're trying to demonize conservatives. That's what this is right now. They are demonizing conservatives and especially Trump conservatives. And they're going at, there's a two-pronged attack here. Number one is the China virus. And number two is this nonsense about what happened on January the 6th. And we're going to get to that in just a little bit. But this is,
you and I have talked about January 6th, Todd. And I've already told you it was a setup. You and I know it. Everybody knows it.
Scott, let me jump in here for a second. Hold on. To that point, I don't want to give away what we're going to talk about later. But we are, I'm telling you, the people at Fox listen to this radio show. What were we, Grace, turn your mic on. We were talking yesterday, and I threw out the hypothetical. I said, is it possible that the FBI, if they were involved in the planning of the kidnapping of Gretchen Whitmer, the governor of Michigan, is it remotely possible that the FBI could have been involved in not only plotting and planning, but actually instigating what happened on January the 6th.
Yeah, I remember you saying that.
And guess what Tucker Carlson led off his show with last night? That very same issue. So anyway, Scott, to your point, yeah, I think it was a setup. And I think this is all designed to take out the base of the party, the conservatives. And there are a lot of people in on this, including Never Trump Republicans, like Liz Pelosi, the Democrat from Wyoming, and Mitt Willard Romney.
I agree 100%. And I can tell you one more thing before we hang up. I am not so much a fan of the Republican National Committee and Rona McDaniel, if you want to get right down to it. But we can talk about that another time, too.
Well, there's a lot to be concerned about, Scott, and I'm with you there. I'm very troubled by the direction of the Republican Party. And even though they are putting on a public face supporting President Trump, I know that behind the scenes, they are working to make sure he is not going to be the nominee in 2024. So there's a lot going on there. And again, I think this all plays into this. They want to demonize conservatives. They want to punish good-hearted people who have, for whatever reason, they don't want to get the China virus vaccine, and they want to demonize those people. And my concern here is if Newsmax and One America News are the only conservative news outlets to take a stand here, I hope that is going to be enough. But conservatives better wake up. I don't know if Fox News Channel is your friend.
Well, you and I are in agreement again, my friend. So you have a wonderful weekend.
All right, Scott. Be good over there in Arkansas. Jay, Memphis, Tennessee, on KWAM. Hi, Jay. What's going on?
Hi, Todd. First of all, I'm the first-time caller, and I love your show. I just wanted to tell you that one of the problems that I think is going on with COVID is that the left hand doesn't know what the right hand is doing most of the time. Now, a good example of that is this. I read maybe a day or two ago that the emergency field hospital in Memphis at 495 Union was going to be shut down.
Hey, Jay, Jay, hang tight, Jay. We've got to take a break. I wasn't watching the clock. That's my fault. Don't go anywhere. Jay, we're going to pick up this conversation after the break. 844-747-8868. Ladies and gentlemen, do you believe this is all a setup for 2022? We'll be right back. If you're like most of us, you're worried about the growing power of big tech and their use of artificial intelligence. They control what we're allowed to say and what we're allowed to see. They're using that power to silence conservative politicians and churches. What's going to happen as their artificial intelligence gains even more power? Well, it's already happening, and you know it. Big tech's AIs are looking over your shoulder right now. And if you say the wrong thing, they can silence you or label you as an extremist. And it's getting worse. We have to ask ourselves, where does it end? Terms of Service, the stunning new Orwellian science fiction novel by AI pioneer Craig W. Stanfill, provides one possible answer. Terms of Service is a fascinating and engaging book that will alert you to these very real dangers to our freedom. Whoever controls the AIs controls the world. Do you care about your freedom? Then read Terms of Service. Go to Amazon.com right now and search for Terms of Service. Or go to www.craigwstanfill.com to learn more. All right, folks, now more than ever, it is so important to support companies and organizations that share our values. Our good friends over at Patriot Mobile not only share our beliefs, but they're doing something about it. America's only Christian conservative wireless carrier. They donate a portion of every dollar to organizations that fight for causes you care about, folks. I made the switch, and I hope you do too. Patriot Mobile, if you switch now, they're going to give Todd Stern Show listeners 50% off your first 2 months or $100 off any phone in stock with a one-year commitment. Either way, you are going to get free Premier activation. Switching is very easy. All you have to do, go to patriotmobile.com/Todd. That's patriotmobile.com/Todd, or call their U.S.-based customer service team at 972-PATRIOT. That's 972-PATRIOT. All right, welcome back to the show, everybody. I want to bring Jay back in. I was very rude. I was not paying attention to the clock, and I wanted you to have time to finish your thought here. Jay, listening to us on KWAM, the flagship station of our program. All right, Jay, now you were talking about a temporary COVID hospital here in the Memphis area.
Right. A $50 million, well-equipped, well-manned hospital at 495 Union Avenue is to be decommissioned. And at the same time, the state of Mississippi, which is our good next-door neighbor, is running out of ICU beds. Now, when hospitals run out of ICU beds, oftentimes what they do is they take a look at the patients in the ICU and they say to themselves, who is stable enough to go to a regular bed? And if you had a large field hospital in the state right next door, you might be able to take some of those people and put it in that hospital. But instead, we're decommissioning it, and we're taking the staff and we're taking the equipment and materials and medicines and dispersing it. So I think it's kind of ridiculous.
Well, it is ridiculous. And I know back in my time in New York City, Jay, before moving back home to Memphis, they were telling people on the national news that every ICU bed in New York City was occupied, when in fact that was a flat out lie. We actually reached out to the local hospital in my neighborhood in Brooklyn, and they had plenty of hospital beds available. They had plenty of ICU beds available. It was not the apocalypse that was being portrayed on the national media. So, again, this goes back to a broader narrative here that the liberals are trying to force down our throats, Jay.
Oh, and one last thing apropos to that. Just as the Union Avenue Hospital saw no patients, the gigantic and humongous Javits Center in New York saw very few patients.
It was nearly empty.
Much more expensive.
Nearly empty, Jay. And not only that, remember they brought the big military ships, one to New York City. They anchored it there, and nobody was there. They had, what, seven or eight people? Unbelievable.
Yep, that's how they do things.
It is. And so, and you know what? We're happy to expose this for what it is. I mean, this is what we do on this program. And, Jay, we're so honored to have you as a listener of KWAM, and we hope you love the station and are having a good time with us.
Okay, totally enjoy it. All right. You're a wonderful, wonderful guy. The station's great.
Wonderful. All right, Jay, thanks for the call. Appreciate that. 844-747-8868. Briefly, this news just coming in. The Cleveland Indians have officially chosen a new name for their team. They've been called the Indians since, what, 1915, and they are very concerned about triggering Native American leaders in America. So they will no longer be honoring Indians in Cleveland. Now they're going to call themselves the Cleveland Guardians. Not too sure about that. The Cleveland Guardians. Who's going to be the mascot? They had what? Who was their mascot? Was it Chief Wahoo or is that the Atlanta Braves?
It all gets very confusing with the mascots.
I don't know.
But I'll say that this reminds me of the Marvel Black Widow movie, the Red Guardian superhero in that. I look at their logo, and they're called the Guardians now. And I'm like, is this like a, you know, playoff of that?
It
Are
is
they
Chief
ripping
Wahoo.
Off Marvel?
I don't know. Is Groot going to be the new mascot?
That's Guardians of the Galaxy.
Oh, well, I mean, what Guardians?
Yeah.
I don't know. You know, they're coming after the Atlanta Braves.
Oh, I know.
You folks in Georgia better get ready. You better get ready because they're coming after the Atlanta Braves. I'll tell you that much. You know, by the way, Grace Baker, the reason why a lot of people don't realize this, but there's have you ever wondered why is it there are so many Atlanta Braves fans around the country?
No, I mean,
normally,
I never thought about it.
Normally, it's pretty isolated.
Yeah.
And by the way, for example, when I moved to New York City, I'm a Braves fan. I like watching the Braves, which is kind of weird in Memphis because we're a Cardinals city because we have the Redbirds,
mm-hmm.
one of the minor league teams. But I'm getting off on a sports tangent here, but I'm bringing it back around.
Oh boy.
So anyway, when I moved to New York City, they said, no, you've got to declare. You can't be a Braves fan in New York. You're either going to be a Mets fan or a Yankees fan. You got to declare.
Wow.
I mean, when babies are born at the hospital, they're given a choice.
That's hilarious.
You know, Mets or Yankees, you're either Jets or Giants.
Oh, my.
That's it. And
they're serious about it.
It is brutal up there. I mean, at least in the South, it's except for SEC. All right, you know how we are about SEC football?
Oh, yeah.
That's how they are about the Mets and the Yankees.
Okay.
All right, and then don't even get me started about the Red Sox. I mean, there are fist fights at those games, and people love it. That's just part of the thing. People love that game.
I've never thought about it, but there are a lot of Atlanta Braves fans kind of spread across the country.
So what we were – oh, yes, the Atlanta Braves. Thank you. So the reason why. So back when I was a kid, we didn't have anything called cable television, Grace Baker.
What?
We didn't have the internet.
You didn't have streaming?
No, we didn't. Well, we did. They were like little rivers, and you would go fishing.
Okay.
And in the summertime, you would jump into the creeks and you would, the streams.
Kind of stream.
Mm-hmm. So, and when you got a virus, you know, you didn't take it down to Best Buy. You went to the doctor.
Okay.
So anyway, when cable television first came out, when we first started getting cable, there was a station out of Atlanta, Ted Turner, who founded CNN, the most profane name in news. He also created TBS, which was at the time, it was like a local independent TV station in the Atlanta area. He put that sucker up on the internet, and it became the superstation. And everywhere in America,
makes sense.
And
now.
He owned the Atlanta Braves at the time, and so that's why he put the Braves on the superstation, WTBS. You guys remember this? I know there's somebody out there who remembers this, because there were only a few cable channels. I remember Nickelodeon. When it first started, they used to actually broadcast. Wow, I am so far in the weeds on what we're talking about right now, but this
That's
is
okay.
a fascinating story. But Nickelodeon, back in the day, before they had all the the gender neutral shows
the
and
woke
whatnot,
stuff.
The woke stuff, they would actually broadcast black and white comedy TV shows from late night.
No,
for from the 1950s and 60s.
Wow.
Yep, Dobie Gillis.
Never would have thought.
Father Knows Best. The whole nine yards. Back in the day. I know there are people listening to us that remember those days, but that the TBS, and there were a lot of, as a matter of fact, in the early days of CNN, I wouldn't say it was conservative, but it was conservative-ish in the sense that they just covered the news. There was not
more
a lot
neutral.
Of, They were, and then they did have a great point counterpoint show with Robert Novak and somebody else whose name Michael Kingsley, I believe, and they would go at it. But it
those
was like
days
both
are long
sides.
Gone.
You had fair and balanced, like Hannity and Combs back in the day.
Those days are long gone, though, Todd.
Long gone, Grace Baker. Unbelievable. All right. So all that to say, there you go. The Cleveland Guardians and the Washington Redskins are still known as the Washington football team. They don't even have a – they still can't come up with a name. And now there are some people saying, well, maybe we ought all just call it the Washington football team. On that same note, and this is all about cultural – this is all about cultural appropriation, which is culture jihad. They're wanting to erase our history. And yesterday in Tennessee, a bit of national news, there's been a lot of controversy over the bust of Nathan Bedford Forrest that has been in the Nashville, in the state capital of Nashville for what, since the 1970s, Grace? I heard you guys talking about it today.
Early 1980s.
So you've got the bust there and the Historical Commission having a big controversy about this bust. There are people that want it removed from the state capitol. They want it destroyed. They want it moved away. And I think the compromise now is they're moving it out of the state capitol and shoving it into some museum that nobody goes to. And they say that, and I'm not sure that's going to appease the woke crowd, because they literally want to destroy history. Good or bad, they want to destroy history. Now, I have a question for you folks about this. I'm going to cause a little controversy to Grace. You know, I've been good this week, more or less.
More or less.
All right. Better than some
but
weeks.
But now you're about to ruin it all, Todd.
About to blow it up. Blow it up, Grace Baker. I have a question for you, Grace.
Oh, no. What?
So Nathan Bedford Forrest, who was a very controversial figure, the massacre. I mean, he was a Civil War guy. You know, they killed lots of people. He was, depending on who you talk to, was or was not involved in the KKK. He was buried in a park in Memphis where he died with his wife. They had a huge, huge monument for him.
Yep.
Which was destroyed, taken down in the dark of night. And now the Black City Council wanted to dig up. And have they dug up the dead bodies?
Yes.
So the Black City Council of Memphis desecrated the grave of this man and dug up the bodies, and now they're being buried somewhere else. Grace, you can turn your microphone off. I'm going to tell you to turn it on in a minute, but I want to explain something about Nathan Bedford Forrest. It would be easy for all of us to sit back and say this was an evil man. This man was horrible to black people. He supported slavery, the whole nine yards. It would be easy for us to say that. But there's something else you may not know about Nathan Bedford Forrest. And it's important for you to know the rest of the story. Because Nathan Bedford Forrest became a Christian man later in his life. And he dedicated the remaining years of his life by doing good things for the black community, by standing up and defending, fiercely defending black citizens against the KKK. This is a man who spent the rest of his life trying to make amends. They wrote a book about this, and it documented his conversion story. And again, this is not a celebration of Nathan Bedford Forrest. I believe it is a celebration of the goodness of God and how God can radically change someone's life. That does not excuse Nathan Bedford Forrest's behavior at all, period. It just does not. But at the same time, we were able to see a man's life changed. Now, should that not be part of the story? Is it possible, is it remotely possible that the story of Nathan Bedford Forrest is one of a man whose life was, he was the chief among sinners, and yet he became a believer in God and changed. He became a changed man. Should we not be telling that story to children in our public schools? That you can change your ways, you can do good in your life? Because right now, folks, right now, what we're saying is we're going to eradicate any history that we find offensive. I got news for you. History's offensive. Every single person listening to this radio program right now, you have done something in your life that you're not proud of. You've done something that you might be ashamed of, but that doesn't make you a horrible person. That doesn't make you a horrible human being, because many of you have found forgiveness and redemption. And I think that's something that we should honor and we should celebrate. But they don't want to hear the rest of the story. And that's a tragedy, because the story of Nathan Bedford Forrest is one of a sinner who was literally saved by grace. And here's where I'm going to get into trouble, Grace Baker. There are a lot of woke preachers out there, especially in the Southern Baptist Convention. I'm a Southern Baptist. I don't mind calling out my own people. And they're splitting. They're literally, these woke preachers are tearing churches apart with this critical race theory nonsense. It's garbage. It's a lie from the pit of hell. But Grace Baker, many of these woke preachers, you know what they sing on Sunday morning in their church houses?
Oh boy, what?
They sing Amazing Grace.
It's a popular one.
How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Who was that wretch, Grace Baker? His name was John Newton. And what did John Newton do? What was his career before he found God? He was in the slave trading business.
Yes.
So here's my question. If you're gonna eradicate Nathan Bedford Forrest, who had a salvation experience and became a follower of Christ, why would you at the same time be allowed to sing Amazing Grace in your church house?
That's a good question, Tom.
That is hypocrisy. That's what that is. And it's politics, and it's ugly. It's absolutely ugly. But we're living in an ugly point of American history right now, Grace Baker. And I do not advocate canceling Amazing Grace. I think it's a beautiful song. And you know why it's a beautiful song, ladies and gentlemen? Because it's our song. The song of every person who has found a relationship with God. The story of that experience was written in those words. And you know what? That was the same experience that John Newton had, was the same experience that Nathan Bedford Forrest has, was the same experience that every single person that follows Christ had. But you know what? They don't care. They don't care. They want to eradicate our history. That's what's going on here. Got to take a break. We'll be right back.
Triggering microaggressions from coast to coast. It's Todd Starnes.
I've noticed that when I go to the shopping mall and buy one of the towels, they just don't seem to work very well. They feel too soft and too lotion-y. They just don't absorb the water. Well, our good friend Mike Lindell over at MyPillow has found a solution, and you've got to get yourself one of his brand new towels. These things are incredible, and best of all, they're made right here in the U.S., and all of his towels come with a 60-day money-back guarantee. You're going to be able to get a 6-piece set, 2 bath towels, 2 hand towels, and 2 washcloths, all made with USA cotton. They are soft yet absorbent, and you're normally going to pay over $100, but thanks to our good friend Mike Lindell, $39.99. That's it. It's a great deal. All you have to do, go to MyPillow.com and click on the new radio listener specials and get deep discounts on all MyPillow products, including the towels. Just enter the promo code STARNS, or you can call 800-839-8506 for some incredible radio specials. Again, MyPillow.com, promo code STARNS. All right, folks, welcome back to the show. I'm getting the what for on the Facebook page. Somebody says, Todd, stop going after the people of Arkansas. I'm not going after the people of, I'm defending the people of Arkansas. I'm just telling you folks in Arkansas that CNN, they're trying to portray you as a bunch of dumb rednecks. That's what they're trying to do. And we're standing up and defending the honor of the good people of Arkansas. So anyway, Peggy says, don't make fun of the good Arkansas people, not dumb or redneck. And by the way, there's nothing wrong with being redneck. There's nothing wrong with being redneck. White trash, yeah, that's a problem. But redneck, no, we like redneck. Someone says, Todd, what about all the what about the increase in Texas of the Delta variant? All right, well, that's a fine question. What's happening on the southern border right now, folks? literally hundreds of thousands of illegals are invading the country. And not a single one of them, not a one, is being tested for the China virus. Not a one. So let's just think about this for a moment. If, in fact, the China virus is as bad as they say, and this Delta variant is as bad as they tell us, then why are they not testing every single illegal alien setting foot on American soil? Because not only are they crossing the border illegally, they are boarding jetliners and they are being flown to cities all over America and dumped in your towns. So pardon me, ladies and gentlemen, if I don't take the pleadings of Joe Biden or the Democrats or Fox News Channel all that seriously. Again, when you look at the big picture here, they're setting us up for another shutdown. And do not be surprised if this shutdown coincides with the 2022 midterm elections. We're dealing with some evil folks here. They want to destroy our country. And they know they can do it with the China virus because we've already been willing to give up our civil liberties. We've already demonstrated that. All right, got to take a break here, folks. Stick around. Hour two coming up next.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-702-5400. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-702-5400. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-702-5400.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
From Memphis, Tennessee, on the banks of the mighty Mississippi, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us, that's right, I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
All right, hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show, hour two underway. Grace Baker, I have to tell you something. I got a text message from Avery, who's a little under the weather today. So
yes.
He called out sick, and he did so at the crack of dawn.
I know.
I would have waited a little bit.
Well, that means it must be pretty bad. He might have been
bad
up all night.
It's horrible. I felt bad for the poor kid. Avery, he's not a kid. He's an adult, but you know what I mean.
He's the youngest out of our crew.
He's the baby of the Todd Starnes Radio Show family.
I mean, he's also been with you for...
That made it sound bad.
Yeah, you know what I mean.
Yeah, he's a grown-up. So anyway, Avery sends me a note. We're going to be in Gainesville, Georgia, the big book signing on Thursday at Smokehouse Barbecue, and I think everybody's coming out. It's going to be a fun, fun night. He says, Todd, my barber is a big fan of the show.
Oh.
And he says, my barber wants to know if he could cut your hair.
Small world. Well, hey, don't turn down a haircut.
I do need... You know, I had a really bad haircut about 6 weeks ago. It was really bad. And I'm still trying. I'm not going to name names. But,
that's nice of you.
But anyway, I may end up having to, I want them
just
as a sponsor.
Put on a ball cap.
Yeah. But anyway, so I may have to go visit the barber, Avery's barber, next week in
Gainesville.
I think
you should.
I'm going to give it a shot. I'm thinking about it. I may do it.
All right.
So anyway, welcome to the show, ladies and gentlemen. I forgot to throw out a trivia question in the last hour. So I want to do this right now. And then we got to go right to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. What are the three names of the Three Stooges? Remember the Three Stooges? The three names of the Three Stooges. If you know the answer, give us a call, 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. Now, we've been following a story here on this program for a while about two teachers in Oregon who got in trouble. They got fired because they don't believe, and I'm going to tell you, This is not why they got fired, but this is why they really got fired. They got fired because they opposed this idea of letting boys use the bathrooms of their choices, boys who think they are girls, and vice versa. That's ultimately what this is all about. But the school says that the teachers were fired because they used school email to send Ben Shapiro an email. I want to go right now to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker lines. First of all, we're honored to have one of those teachers, Rachel Damiano, and her attorney, the one, the only, the great American patriot from Pacific Justice Institute, Brad Dacus. Brad, I hope that intro was good for you.
That was a great intro. I appreciate it. And, I want to recognize our local attorney, Ray Hackey, who's really just doing a fantastic job working with the clients and really going to bat for them in court. He's a great part of the PGI team, and I just got to recognize him right up front for the great work he's doing on this case.
Well, Brad, I want to start with Rachel, and Rachel, I want you to take us through what happened there at the school and then why you were trying to reach out to Ben Shapiro.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I really appreciate it. Well, basically, there are not any policies set in stone right now at the district level, and then the state and federal level doesn't have any policies set in stone right now either for schools. And so there was some questions about some written down procedures that Katie and I had some questions about, brought it to the district and said, hey, we have some questions and some concerns from our own conscience. How can we change this? And we were told, well, it's got to change at the state and federal level. So we came up with the solutions, which were those resolutions. And the district looked at them and said, those look kind of creative, but it's got to change at the state and federal level. And so we said, okay, we're going to get our community involved and we're going to create a video and a website and offer these solutions and ideas, which is what we did. And then five people concerned about what we said or what they perceived we said complained to the district, and the district put us on leave and ultimately terminated us.
And this happened at North Middle School. What town was this in, Rachel?
It's Grants Pass, Oregon.
All right. Oregon. So I'm sure our listeners on KYKN in Salem, you guys know where that is. So you at the time, you were the assistant principal. And Katie Medert, who is your cohort here, she was a science teacher. I'm just curious, Rachel, you know, your reaction to this when the firing, this was really about gender identity policies. Do you feel like that there was a target on y'all's backs?
We do, yeah. And it's especially because it was just ideas given. And we had what we felt was support from our district to pursue and look into these. And so to be put on leave or to be fired for ideas that we brought was concerning for us, especially as educators and especially as part of the system that is supposed to be teaching students why America is great. And we feel like this does not show students
now,
why America is great.
Now, Brand, I want to bring you back in here. So the school says the problem is they used their school district email to send Ben Shapiro an email. Is that permissible? Because it seems to me that the left is using the entire school building for political purposes.
What we're talking about here is the ability for teachers to be able to express themselves the same way that other teachers do, who are not censored, who are not punished. They're being clearly screened out selectively. And mind you, their speech in no way affected their job in a negative way. They were not criticized for incompetency, being a poor teacher or a poor administrator. They have a great record in that regard. This is solely about their exercising of their free speech rights on their own time and in their own capacity as a private citizen. No citizen of the United States surrenders their constitutional First Amendment rights when they start to work for any government agency, and they do not have to comply with the ideology of whoever their boss is in that state government agency.
But, Brad, I mean, taking it a step further here, I think the much broader issue is this idea, if you stand opposed to the LGBT alphabet people movement, specifically the transgender part of that, there is going to be a price to pay in the public school system.
Yeah. We need to make no mistake in understanding what we're dealing with here. We're dealing with two people who are singled out because of their traditional Christian worldview and the fact it doesn't comport with the radical leftist LGBTQ worldview. And what we see more and more is this very intolerant attitude by the radical left, not one of live and let live or you have your opinion, I have my opinion, let's live in harmony and respect. Oh, no, it's one of silence, vilify, and destroy. That is what they're trying to do to these two educators, and that's why we at Pacific Justice Institute are not only representing them, but are willing to represent people like them anywhere in the United States when they're dealing with this kind of bigotry and discrimination.
Now, Rachel, I'm curious, did you hear from any other teachers? Maybe they were afraid to speak out, or were you two the only ones who had concerns about this?
Yeah, there were definitely other educators that were concerned as well and have actually spoken out in support of us throughout this. But there are a lot that are afraid. We've had a lot of people text us or message us and say, we silently support you, but we're afraid we're going to get fired if we say anything. And to go back really quickly to that Ben Shapiro email, I just want to clarify, that was from my personal email. I sent it from my personal email. I didn't send it from my work email. My work email happened to be CC'd on it. It was not from my work email. And so I didn't even use district resources in that time to send that email to Mr. Shapiro. So, again, it's sad that we're seeing that educators are afraid to speak out because they fear being fired.
All right. Well, guys, we're getting a super bad phone connection here, but I think we got the gist of it. We're gonna have to wrap things up there. Brad Dacus from Pacific Justice Institute, Rachel Damiano, an assistant principal, fired in Oregon, and she and a colleague, a teacher, were very alarmed at orders regarding LGBT activists and bathrooms in the school district, among other things. And ultimately, folks, I'm telling you, this radical LGBT mob, they will come after you, and they will try to punish you for standing against their philosophies. They want to indoctrinate. They want to recruit your kids, and they're using our public classrooms to do that. All right, 844-747-8868. We're going to get to the trivia question here in just a moment. That's 844-747-8868.
You're listening to Todd Starnes.
Hey, folks, welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. An honor to be hanging out with you during the lunch hour today. Let's go to the phones. We've got Carrie in Little Rock, Arkansas, wants to try the trivia question today. Carrie, how's it going?
Oh, I'm fine. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you for asking. All right, here is the question, Carrie. The Three Stooges. The names of the Three Stooges. Who are the Three Stooges, Carrie?
Mo, Larry, and Curly.
That's right.
Yes, we would have taken Biden, Harris, and Pelosi, but yeah, that'll do it. well done. Well played. All right, Carrie, hang tight. We're gonna hook you up with some sort of a prize out of the Todd Starnes Radio Show prize closet. And I think that we will, we're going to throw out another trivia question. We had to get caught up here. And here we go. This is a fun question. It's National Gorgeous Grandma Day. I had no idea. National Gorgeous Grandma Day. Who is the current oldest woman alive? Who is the current oldest woman alive? Is it Betty White? Is it Diana Ross? Or is it Kane Tanaka? The oldest woman alive. We're celebrating National Gorgeous Grandma Day. And if you are a National Gorgeous Grandma, we would love to hear from you as well. 844-747-8868. The oldest woman alive, 844-747-8868. So Sarah Huckabee Sanders running for governor of Arkansas. And by the way, she's raising millions of dollars in cash, and she triggered the folks on Fox News Channel earlier today. Let's take a listen.
Governor DeSantis is exactly right. He's done a great job in Florida. If I'm elected governor here in Arkansas, we will not have mask mandates. We will not have mandates on the vaccine. We will not shut down churches and schools and other large gatherings because we believe in personal freedom and responsibility. That's one of the key cornerstones, frankly, of our country.
Well, good for you, Sarah Sanders, saying that, you know what? We're going to put our foot down, and we're not going to bow down to this mob. We're not going to bow down to the China virus mob. We are going to take a stand. We believe in personal freedom and liberty. Let the people make up their own minds. Good for you, Sarah Sanders. By the way, it is. I've been complimenting leftist magazines lately, and this is shocking. And I'm not quite sure. I think we may have somebody's microphone may be on somewhere. I'm hearing some clicking in my headphones. New York Magazine's senior art critic, Jerry Saltz, had this to say. Imagine if Donald Trump Jr. made a little watercolor, just like Hunter Biden's artwork, and sold them at a commercial gallery that had less than desirable history, and sold that little watercolor for more than $150,000. This is from New York Magazine senior art critic Jerry Saltz. He says it doesn't pass the smell test. He says, to those saying it's fine that Hunter Biden shows his generic decorative zombie abstraction art at a commercial gallery and sells it, imagine if Donald Trump Jr., in parentheses, a Coke addict, made little watercolors like these and sold them at an iffy commercial gallery for upwards of $150. It is a fair question to ask. If that was Don Jr., all you know what would have broken out. And then Mr. Saltz goes on, and I'm sure he's a leftist, but he's making a point here, so bear with me. Now imagine all the foreign agents, fishy businessmen, lobbyists, politicos buying the work and backroom deals. The potential for conflict of interest is enormous and dangerous. This is absolutely correct. Do what Republican warmonger George W. Bush did. See what I mean? He's a lefty. Do what Republican warmonger George W. Bush did. Make your work, show it at a nonprofit, no sales. So the guy's right. I mean, he's a leftist jerk, but he's right. And thank goodness that at least somebody in the mainstream media is willing to call out Hunter Biden and the Biden crime syndicate for what they're doing here. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. Larry Elder, back in the headlines. So the attorney general or the secretary of state took Larry Elder off of the ballot in the recall election because he had not turned in some tax information. Well, it turns out he didn't need to. So a judge said, what are you guys doing? It's this Jim Crow in California. You can't kick a black man off the ballot. What's wrong with you? That's what they did. So now Larry Elder is back on the ballot in California. And according to the latest polls out there, we now know why the Democrats wanted Larry Elder out of the race. Larry Elder is now leading all candidates. So here's the question that was asked. Who would you vote for to replace Governor Gavin Newsom if he is recalled? So here's the thing. When you go to vote, you're asked two questions. Number one, do you want to recall Gavin Newsom? If the answer is yes, then you have to answer the next question. Who replaces Gavin Newsom? Right now, Larry Elder, according to the Emerson poll, is polling at 16%. Larry Elder, 16%. His closest competitor is John Cox at 6%. Caitlyn Jenner, the Jenner formerly known as Bruce, 4%. Undecided, 53%. Well, undecided wins the race. But Larry Elder looking good right now. And I think he'd be a great governor. 844-747-8868, toll-free telephone number. This is the Todd Stern Show. So welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Wow, do we have a busy week, couple of weeks coming up. For all of our Memphis listeners, KWAM, we're going to be out at Andy B's in Bartlett. That's sort of a that's a high-end bowling bowling alley and entertainment complex. Grace, is that a good way to describe it?
I call it the Ritz-Carlton of bowling
it
alleys.
It is snazzy. I mean, normally when you think of bowling, you think of like, you know, the Big Lebowski. Yeah, it's no, that's not it. This is really nice.
No, this is super nice.
Super nice. So we're going to be out there 3 o'clock to 6 o'clock or something like that. Anyway, come out and hang out with us. Go bowling. We'll have some great food and beverages and all that kind of good stuff. We would love to say hello to you. Then next week, we are off to Gainesville, Georgia. We're going to be doing a massive book signing with our good friends at WDUN over the Smokehouse Barbecue. The next day, we're in Hendersonville, North Carolina. WHKP, our great affiliate there, we're going to have a huge bash. And then next Saturday, we will be wrapping things up at the Billy Graham Library in Charlotte, North Carolina. Well, I want to go right now to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, and we're honored to have with us from the great state of Georgia, Congressman Barry Loudermilk. Congressman, good to have you back with us.
Well, it's good to be with you, Todd. You always have a great show.
Well, you're kind to say that, and we've got a lot of great listeners across the state of Georgia, and you know those are some good people in that part of the country. And a lot of them are very concerned about what's happening on our border right now, to be honest with you.
Well, and they should be. The issue is we didn't have a whole lot going on at the border after the 4 years of the Trump administration, who prioritized securing our borders. But now the Biden administration has the northern border with Canada closed, but it's pretty much wide open in the southern border, and they're inviting people to come in. And we are every month breaking new records of illegals entering into this country. And our law enforcement have been pretty much forced to just be bellhops for them. I mean, as they're coming in, they're basically taking them and then taking them to a place, sometimes putting them on airplanes, getting them into hotels. It's basically become a service to escort the people across the border. And that's not what the Border Patrol agents want, but it's just the directives that's coming from the White House.
You know, Congressman, I was watching this video from Fox News. They had a guy down there, and they were literally, the border agents were trying to keep the gates closed, and the illegals were just shoving their way in and pushing aside the Border Patrol agents and invading our country. And it's just mind-boggling that there is no security on the border. But beyond that, you know, they're telling us we're in the middle of some sort of a Delta variant pandemic, and yet not a single one of those people is being tested for the China virus.
But you're exactly right. And so a reporter comes to me this week as I'm leaving a meeting in Capitol, on Capitol Hill. And he comes to me and he starts talking about the Americans who have chosen not to get vaccinated. Are they going to cause a problem with our economy of this new variant coming up, and people won't travel because they're afraid of the people who haven't gotten the virus, who most of those are in Republican areas of the country? And I said, are you serious? You're really trying to say that it's the people, Americans, who are making the choice of their own health care are the problem of the potential economy crashing, and more so of a new strain of this virus coming up? You got to be kidding me. It's a greater threat coming from the southern border, but I think they know that the economy is about to crash, and the liberal media and the Democrats are trying to put it on the shoulders of Republicans, but it's not going to work. I mean, it's their inflation that's being caused by their poor policy, the rampant spending, talks of more taxes, and just opening up this southern border.
Well, Congressman, I hear what you're saying there, and I hope you're right. But, you know, there are Republicans that are starting to buy into this. You had Governor Kay Ivey yesterday saying it's time to start blaming the unvaccinated. You've got Fox News Channel going full-blown into, you know, pleading with people to get the vaccine. Whatever happened to personal freedom and liberty? That's what I want to know.
That's my point, is it's your personal choice. The reporter asked me, he said, are you going to encourage people to get the vaccine? I said, yes, if they want to. I think it should be up to the individual to make the choice with consultation with their physician. I mean, I don't know what someone's health condition may be. There have been some folks that have had adverse effects from the vaccine. But still, the question I have is if the vaccine is as good as they're telling us it is, which I'm not questioning it, but if it's as effective as everyone is saying it is, then you shouldn't be scared of those who haven't been vaccinated because you're immune. It should not be a problem for you. So how could those who have not been vaccinated be the problems for everyone else? They can't. And so, if you know, I'm supportive of individual freedom, individual choice, and something that has been just lost in the minds of the media and the Democrats and is called personal responsibility.
I'm with you. I can't wait for one of these people to come up to me, the folks knocking on the doors and asking if I've had the China virus vaccine. I'm just going to shoot right back at them. You guys got any STDs? Have you been tested? Because it's none of your business. You're right, and it's none of your business. Get out of here. Off my lawn.
And the irony nice of the whole thing is, in Washington, D.C., those who are pro-choice, the pro-abortion lobby there and everyone who supports abortion has been telling us for years, it's my body, my choice. What happened to that ideology when it comes to getting the vaccine? That's totally thrown out the window.
It's a great question. Congressman, real quick, I want to ask you about this situation with Buckhead in Atlanta, a very affluent suburb. Our show is based in Memphis, my hometown. We are in the middle of a longstanding crime wave here. Over 77 people shot on Interstate 240 so far this year. We're talking about hundreds of people killed, gunned down. It's a mess. I know you guys are dealing with significant crime there in the Atlanta area, and this is one of the reasons why Buckhead wants to secede from Atlanta so they can at least control their own destiny and protect their streets.
And I think they very well should do that. There's a legislative process to get this done. I think it requires two different legislative sessions by the state legislature. But quite frankly, I've got part of Buckhead in my district. What these people want is they just want to be safe. And they want a good economy. They want their neighborhoods to be safe. They want their schools to be safe. And what they see is the liberal leadership out of Atlanta is not and will not provide that for their community. So they basically want some conservative leadership in their area. That's why they want to be their own city. I mean, this is a thriving area in a very growing part of northern Atlanta. And they're just saying, look, we've had enough. We've had enough of the liberal far-left policies. Look, the way that the mayor has treated law enforcement there over the past several years, they have lost numbers of officers. I know of officers who've left Atlanta and they've gone to rural areas or more suburban areas to work in law enforcement there. But it's this attack on law enforcement by the Democrats and the far left that has caused this problem.
Wow. All right. Well, Congressman, we're going to pay very close attention to that story. A lot of listeners in the Atlanta area very concerned about crime, and we appreciate you coming on the program today, and have a great weekend.
All right, Todd. My pleasure. Thank you very much.
All right. That's Congressman Barry Loudermill, folks, from the great state of Georgia. By the way, speaking of crime, Grace Baker, did you see the email I sent you?
How could I miss it?
So when I will describe this for you, folks, we're not going to tease you. We don't do that here on the program. We try to, this is radio, theater of the mind.
Yes.
Theater of the mind.
Just stop it, Todd. Sorry. Go into the store.
It's Friday, Grace. And we're going bowling.
I know. I'm excited
about this. Very excited. So there is a Twitter feed called Street People of Los Angeles. Folks, you got to follow this feed. I do. And it's Grace, the first time somebody sent this to me, I'm scrolling through all the videos and I'm thinking, oh my gosh, this is like Mogadishu. this is like, I don't know, some third world hellhole. And then I realized, holy crap, this is Los Angeles. Unbelievable.
It's terrible. I mean, it looks like a wasteland out of a movie.
So they, whoever's behind this Twitter account, Grace, they're going out and they're filming scenes of what it's really like on the streets of Los Angeles. And it looks like some sort of dystopian novel where you've got the homeless everywhere setting up encampments. Fires are burning all over the place. You've got businesses that have shut down. And I was scrolling down through this, Grace, I realized I recognized some of the beachfront area. So they're literally showing the homeless in Los Angeles, Grace. They're setting up camp on the beach.
That's terrible.
You know, where you would go down to, let's say, Panama City, the Redneck Riviera, sure, which is where the Stearns family vacations. And you have beautiful sandy white beaches.
Yes.
And you would, it's just where you go to vacation or just lay out in the sun. Relax. But now you have all these drug addicts and filth and garbage and makeshift tents set up all over the beach.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's just like piles of junk, food and wrappers, and I don't even want to know what else.
Well, let me tell you what else. Aside from, we're not going to talk about the human waste, but I do want to talk about, it's the dirty needles.
That
the
too.
The dirty needles. And that's a big problem. So we're getting ready to do the big West Coast trip. I think that's in September or October. And we're going to be out there for, I think, 8 or 9 days. And I thought, you know what? This is going to be a great vacation. I'll take a few days off. There's a beautiful boutique hotel right there on the beach, right up from the Santa Monica Pier, called Shutters on the Beach. I've stayed there for years. And someone texted me. They said, Todd, don't even want to go down there.
Oh.
It's the area around the hotel. You're right there on the beach, and it's just a wasteland. And
that's so sad.
There are reports of people walking out into the sand and getting stuck with dirty needles that have just been left about.
My gosh.
This is what happens when you allow Democrats to take over and control your cities.
They just it just looks like something out of dystopia. Kind of, you know, because it's like these beautiful beaches and then these homeless camps, tents, people, there's like cat fights going on, just people fighting each other, just mayhem.
It's unbelievable. Street people of Los Angeles, you got to check this out, folks. But look, the problem here in Memphis, it can be easily summed up this way. This city has been controlled by, what, 40, 50 years by Democrats?
Yep.
Look what they have done here. Look at what the Democrats have done to Memphis, Tennessee, a once beautiful, vibrant, thriving city. And it's trying. The people are trying. They're great people here in this city. But folks, they're under the control, under the thumb of these Democrats who want us at each other's throats. The Democrats here are trying to stoke some sort of a race war, trying to pit people against each other. And instead of giving the police what they need to take care of business, they are coddling the criminals. That's what's going on here in Memphis. And that's the same thing that's happening in Atlanta, in Buckhead, which is probably the most affluent area of that city. But the Democrats don't care. This is what they want. This is what they want. They want dystopia. That's what they want. All right, got to take a break here. We do have an outstanding trivia question. It is National Gorgeous Grandmas Day, and we want to know, who is the oldest woman alive? Is it Betty White? Is it Diana Ross? Or is it Kane Tanaka? Give us a call, 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. We'll be right back.
It's the Todd Starnes Radio Show.
All right, President Trump is weighing in now on the Cleveland Indians changing the name of the team to the Guardians. The president says this is nothing more than a small group of people with absolutely crazy ideas and policies forcing these changes to destroy our culture and heritage. The president, we have the president's full statement on our website. the president says, such a disgrace. And I guarantee that the people who are most angry about it are the many Indians of our country. Would it not be an honor to have a team named the Cleveland Indians? Would it not be disrespectful to rip that name and logo off the jerseys? The president now calls himself a former baseball fan. You know, I am curious. How many of you have just given up, you know, on sports, cable, going to the movies? It's just everything is so woke now. Everything is about advancing an agenda. You just can't go and watch a good movie. You know, it's just there's somebody's always trying to cram something down your throat. I mean, I remember when going to the movies used to be fun. I mean, you didn't mind paying $30 for a thing of popcorn because at least you're having a good time, a night out on the town.
You know, sometimes now when a movie comes out, I look at the reviews to see if there's anything, like if it's making headlines for some big reason, mm-hmm. like it's super woke or something, because then I'm like, I don't want to go see it. But if it's not in any headlines like that, I'll probably go see it.
Well, it's, you know,
check.
One of the reasons why I stopped going, Grace, is that all the kids, you know, they're on the smartphones. So when the lights go out, the lights don't go out because everybody's smartphone screen is just brighter than blue blazes.
That hurts your eyes, too.
And then you've got the kid. Well, it's really not the kids more so than the adults. You know, they're on the
kids.
Phones.
I'm like,
The kids are making out. You know, they're either cutting up, you know, throwing popcorn, or they're making out. And you're like, come on, kids, take
a whole different show going on.
Take it to the backseat of the car. That's what America does. That's what you do. And then the worst part, Grace, is that you're sitting there and you're going to go get some popcorn,
yeah.
right? Because you know your significant other is there, and oh, I could really use some popcorn, honey. And so, all right, could you get some Milk Duds? Okay, Milk Duds too. And so, and then you got to get a Baptist Martini to wash it down. And so, when you get up, you stand up, and you go to step out, you realize your shoes are still stuck to the floor. Because they're sticky. The floors are sticky.
Oh, my gosh. I've never noticed that.
Have you not noticed
guy's
that?
Shoes.
No, when your shoes and you're like, you can hear it like
squeak,
rip.
Squeak.
It's like rip.
You know, I think they've replaced some of that flooring now in some of the newer theaters around here. So it's quieter when people walk.
Oh, we had a great theater in Brooklyn, Alamo Drafthouse. And man, it was us like, hey, folks, it was great. They didn't have like 45 minutes of trailers. It was like, you sit down, boom, there's the movie. You want a beverage, you fill out your little card, and they'll bring it to you.
How nice.
You turn on your smartphone, they will haul your butt out of there.
I love it.
And the best part of all, and no offense, children, nobody under the age of 17 allowed.
Oh, that's pretty nice,
unless
too.
You have a parent.
That's pretty nice, too.
And I like that. You know, I like that. All right, real quick, let's go to Kathy, Georgia, WDUN. She wants to try her hand at trivia. All right, Kathy, who's the oldest woman in America alive, or the oldest woman alive? Is it Betty White, Kane Tanaka, or Diana Ross?
How about Betty White?
She's not that old, Kathy. She is on up there, though. Kathy.
Yes, she is.
Kathy, good try, good guess, but give us a holler back next week at trivia. So now it's between Diana Ross and Kane Tanaka. Are you kidding me? Come on. That's not even a question anymore. All right. Of course it's Kane Tanaka. 118 years old. Oh, by the way, here's the next question. We're going to throw this one out, Grace. Come on, Grace. What does Alice's boyfriend Sam do in the Brady Bunch? What's his job? Sam, the boyfriend of the Brady
Why
Bunch.
Why are you getting mad at me?
I'm not mad. I'm just laughing at you.
Give you variety.
All right. Alice's boyfriend, Sam, in the Brady Bunch. How does he earn his paycheck? 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. Really? Diana Ross?
Broadcasting coast to coast and border to border from Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
All right. right. Hello, everybody. Hour three of the big show. And after the program, heading over to the big bash at Andy B's. If you're in Memphis, Tennessee, if you listen to us on KWAM, we would love to see you out there 3 to 6 o'clock this afternoon. What better way, Grace Baker, to wrap up a very busy news week than to have some good eats and drinks and bowling.
Sounds great to me.
And this is a snazzy joint. Is that right?
It's not your average bowling.
No, you got to wear shoes.
Oh, yeah.
And a shirt.
Of course.
So it's, well, that's what I said. It's unlike most bowling alleys.
Oh, fair.
I'm just saying. But it's going to be a lot of fun, and we would love to meet all of our Mid-South listeners. And then, of course, heading out on the big book tour next week, we're going to be excited to see our listeners in places like Georgia and North Carolina. Going to be a lot of fun out there. Hang tight. We got a lot of people that want to answer the trivia question that we threw out there a few moments ago. Hang tight. I do want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. We're very honored to have with us our good friend Eric Schmidt. He is the Attorney General of the great state of Missouri, just upriver from us, and he is also running for the U.S. Senate. Mr. Attorney General, hope you're doing good today.
I'm doing great. Great to be with you guys.
I want to talk about a very interesting story, something that involves the Second Amendment. We know at the town hall that President Biden had over at CNN a few days ago that he talked about, really, I mean, if you read between the lines, he's wanting to grab our guns. I mean, there's really no other way to describe it, and you want to stop that from happening.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, this has been, he said it on the campaign trail in the you know, the nominee he's got for ATF is a renowned gun grabber. So this is part of, you know, who he is. But yeah, so we actually this week filed an amicus brief, led with Arizona, an amicus brief that had 26 states signed on to it, 26 AGs from across the country, on a case called New York Rifle. And it essentially deals with a situation in New York where you have to prove to a bureaucrat that you're at risk in order to be able to carry a firearm outside the home. This case that the Supreme Court has agreed to take is probably, well, it's definitely the most significant Second Amendment case since the Heller decision, which really established and made clear that the Second Amendment guarantees and protects the individual right to protect yourself, which we know if you believe in what the founders' vision was, they knew that those rights that are protected by the Constitution predate the Constitution. They come from God, and government's just our shared project to protect our rights. We don't get our rights from government or a king or a queen. We're born with them, including the ability to protect yourself. So this case that's going to be heard before the Supreme Court is a very, very important case that stands for the proposition that you can defend yourself outside the home, and you don't need the government's permission to go do that in an arbitrary way, and that they have to, with this subjective criteria, determine whether or not you're really at risk or not to get a permit.
And
so
of course,
it's a big, important case. We're leading the charge.
It is. And, of course, the National Rifle Association is backing this case as well. And this is an important thing. And, again, especially when you look at rising crime rates, we just had Congressman Barry Loudermilk from Georgia on. You've got a major suburb of Atlanta wanting to secede from the city because they're not getting enough police protection. And at the end of the day, Mr. Attorney General, when you go back and look at the Founding Fathers and the intent of that Second Amendment, there was a belief that if you were a homeowner and you and your family were attacked in your home and you did not have a firearm, that's on you. You had a responsibility to protect yourself and your family, and we have gotten so far away from that in this country.
Well, and the founders would have cringed at the idea that you would need to ask the government permission to be able to go do that. Sort of the point, right, is that individuals could protect themselves and their families without that kind of request going to the government. And you're right. Rising crime rates here in Missouri, sort of a microcosm for the country. You've got two, you know, St. Louis and Kansas City, two cities. You've got urban, suburban, ex-urban, and rural Missouri. And you've got in St. Louis City, they're talking about eliminating $4 million for police. You see early retirements. You've got cutting 100 positions for police officers. They're already 150 officers short. In Kansas City, the mayor there, the progressive mayor there, is talking about moving $42 million away from the police department. And so it's exactly the wrong move. And this rhetoric about defunding the police is reality now, including in the heartland. So we're pushing back on that. We want to support our men and women in blue, and we also want to make sure individuals have the right to protect themselves under the Second Amendment.
I'm curious what you're hearing out on the campaign trail. I do know from some of the local reports that you are leading the way in fundraising, which is always a good sign. But what are the issues that are really on the minds of voters there in the Show Me State?
Yeah, so we had a record-breaking quarter. We raised $1.3 million in the first quarter of fundraising. You know, I've won statewide twice by some pretty big margins. So people know me, and it says I get around the state in order to hold this very important Senate seat in Missouri. You don't get to 51 seats in the Senate if you don't hold on to Missouri in 2022. So I feel like we're in a good spot. But look, I think people appreciate the fact that as Attorney General, I fought alongside President Trump in the America First agenda and defending those policies. You know, we had a secure border. We had unparalleled economic opportunity. African-American unemployment at historic lows. Hispanic unemployment at historic lows. More jobs for more people. We had energy independence. And now Joe Biden seeks to tear all of that down. And so we're really leading the charge here in Missouri, our office, in pushing back against that. We had a very important hearing yesterday in Texas. Missouri and Texas filed suit against the Biden administration for his reversal of the successful Trump policy, the Remain in Mexico policy, the, you know, migrant protection protocols. We've got a lawsuit on that. We've got a lawsuit on energy issues. We're in the fight on all these big important issues, and I think people want a fighter and somebody that just doesn't talk about it, but actually goes and does it. And that's been my record, and I want to take that same fighting spirit to Washington, D.C., in this effort, which I really believe, and I don't mean it just rhetorically, to save America. I believe in this country. It's the most important experiment in the history of mankind, that people can self-govern, that our rights come from God, that people can pursue their dreams. And so I want to fight for that in the United States Senate.
All right. Well, Mr. Attorney General, we're going to have to leave it there. Good luck to you out on the campaign trail. And, folks, we have links to Eric Schmidt's campaign page there on the live show blog. Thank you very much, sir.
Great to be with you guys. Thanks.
All right. Eric Schmidt, the Attorney General there in Missouri. And, boy, he's right. Crime is blowing up all over the place. Chicago, the Miracle Mile is what they call it there, with all the big shops and the high-dollar places. They've had, what, 70 or 80 stores say, that's it, we're shutting down. We can't handle the crime. I'm telling you, this is what happens when you let Democrats run your cities. All right, let's try our hand at trivia. Apparently, Grace Baker, a lot of Brady Bunch fans on the Todd Stearns radio show. We're going to do this. We're going to go to Scott in South Haven, Mississippi on KWAM and Ron in Salem, Oregon on KYKN. And gentlemen, here's what I'm going to do. On the count of three, I want you to tell me what kind of a job did Sam the Butcher have? One, two, three.
He was a butcher.
That's right.
Yeah, gentlemen, that's right. Sam the butcher, and he always made sure that he gave Alice the prime choice cuts. I don't know how he did that, but anyway. So Scott, hang on, and thank you for listening to us on our flagship station in South Haven, Mississippi. Now, Ron, in Salem, Oregon, I understand you wanted to weigh in on this Nathan Bedford Forrest controversy.
Yes, I do, sir. With all this stuff, you can't keep burying history. This man here repented. We're a country of God. We fully be repentful, just like Reverend King says. You know, if we don't have any compassion and learn from our mistakes, how God's going to have compassion on us when our time and the race is done on this earth? We shall be measured accordingly by the action we do in his time and in his ways. Nathan Bedford, yes, he was the founding member of the Grand Rivers of the Ku Klux Klan in Tennessee. But it took him a year and a half, and all of a sudden he said that wasn't right. He tried to fight it, and he couldn't shut it down once he opened up that bag up.
As a matter of fact, Ron, as the story goes, he actually went to the governor of, now keep in mind, he died, I think, in 1875. So we're not even talking about the 20th century. We're back in the 19th century. He went to the governor of Tennessee and said, hey, let me deputize me. I'll go out there. I'll hunt down these Klansmen that are attacking black people in Tennessee. I mean, the guy had a true conversion experience.
Yes, he did. And the thing is this, it was Matthew that converted him. His wife had been praying. And in 18, 6 years later, in 1875, 2 years before he passed away, he went through and did the right things. The precursor to the NAACP was the Pallbearer Society. He even kissed the black lady and brought her flowers. Now, tell me something. If we do not have compassion, you're going to remove a man's gravesite? You're going to take a statue out? Because he repented. Aren't we supposed to be the country that, like what we did for the Japanese or the Germans, wouldn't we repent for the North Koreans? We had charity, repentance, even to our Russian allies?
That's a good point.
If we forget about those values, how can we say that we can heal this country if we're going to keep stirring the pot because you want to go through and make things right and bury our history like cat litter and think everything will smooth over? No, it will rise up and it'll fester like molten magma on the earth. It'll boil up to the top, and before you know it, just like what's going on in Portland, Eugene, Oakland, all these cities that are Democrats has ran, we should have a cesspool that'll be boiling over, and we'll have division like they did Jim Crow times 107 years ago. May God bless you, Todd. Keep up your good work. And I'm very honored as a Republican. I am also chairman of the Polk County Republican Party out here in Oregon. And I don't brag about it. God put me in a place. I didn't vote for myself, but God says you got to stand when I ask you to, because I need you to do the work. And I will be fighting that CRT stuff, my friend. We were not going to allow that in my state if I can have it.
Ron, you sound like a great American patriot, sir. And we're going to get out to Oregon one of these days. You got a great radio station there. And we're just honored to be a part of the lineup. And all I know is I just share my opinion and my take on things. And if you agree, disagree, at least you know where I'm coming from. We really don't put a lot of airs on this radio show. But, Ron, God bless you, my friend, and look forward to meeting you one day in person. Hang tight. Don't go anywhere. We got to get you a prize package, and we're going to get that out in the mail. So there you go, folks, Salem, Oregon. Now, you think about Oregon being a liberal state. Yeah, the cities are, but there are a lot of conservatives out there. And the whole point of this radio program is to let all of us know that, hey, there are a lot of like-minded people. It doesn't matter if you're in Salem, Oregon, or Hendersonville, North Carolina, or Portland, Maine. There are a lot of like-minded folks out there. And together, folks, we're going to be able to make a big change in this country. All right, I want to throw out another trivia question for the hour. Here we go. This is an Olympics question. We need to know which athlete holds the record of winning the most Olympic medals. One athlete, I will give you a clue. The athlete is an American. Which athlete holds the record of winning the most Olympic medals? If you know the answer, give us a call, 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. You know, I love my friends at GoodRanchers.com, brand new sponsors of this program. And the reason why is their product is made right here in America. 100% beef grown right here on American soil. When you buy your steak and your chicken from Good Ranchers, you're getting not only incredible tasting meat, you're also supporting American farms. My friends over at Good Ranchers, they've traveled all over America. They actually shake hands with the farmers who are providing the livestock that ends up on your table. The steaks USDA Choice and Prime, the chicken 100% natural, no antibiotics, no hormones. And if you you can buy one time or you can subscribe and they're going to send you meat every month. And I think that's what I do. And it's just delicious. And by the way, if you subscribe, you're going to get 20% off each purchase, letting you get steakhouse quality for less than $5 a meal. All you need to do, go to goodranchers.com/Todd and use the promo code Todd. You're going to get $20 off plus free express shipping. That's goodranchers.com/Todd. You're going to get $20 off free express shipping. You got to use the promo code Todd. We'll be right back.
From the front lines of the culture war, it's Todd Starnes.
Right, let's get to the phones here. Jody in North Dakota hanging out with us on the live stream today. Jody, how are you?
I'm good, and how are you?
You know, I'm doing lovely. Jody, a little warm outside, a little humid, but the air conditioning is blasting here in the radio bunker, so we're doing dandy.
It's very warm here also.
Ah, yes, but I think we're about to get an afternoon thunderstorm, and that's one of the reasons I love living in the South. Those afternoon thunderstorms cools everything off, Jody. You got the ceiling fan on the front porch, that Cracker Barrel rocking chair. You got a mason jar filled with iced tea. Have I done a good job painting the picture for you, Jody?
Yes, you have.
And I suspect you guys do the same thing in North Dakota.
I think we do. We don't have a lot of front porches, but yeah, we definitely like to hang out outside.
Well, there you go. Yeah, we got front porches out the wazoo here in the deep South. All right, Jody, let's try to win you a prize today. We were talking about the Olympics, and we want to know which athlete holds the record for winning the most Olympic medals. Who is that person, Jody?
I think it's Michael Phelps.
Yeah, that's right.
That's right.
Yes, absolutely. Michael Phelps, the all-time, and I mean all-time, I believe 28 medals Michael Phelps won over his career, 23 gold, 3 silver, and 2 bronze. He is the most decorated Olympian in the history of the games. And Jody, you are a winner. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Now, don't go anywhere. We're going to put you on hold, and the lovely Grace Baker is going to get your info. Grace, I feel led to read my recipe. I don't know why I'm doing this. We got to take a break from politics. I want to read my chapter from my book, Our Daily Biscuit Devotions with a Drawl.
Sounds good to me.
I'm going to read my recipe for homemade Mater sandwiches.
Well, it is lunchtime.
It is. So look, my little book, it's the very first devotion book. Wrote it with my good friend Michelle Cox, called Our Daily Biscuit Devotions with a Drawl. And I hope I have time to do this. But the only recipe I submitted was my homemade Mater sandwich. And a Mater is what we call tomatoes here in the South. And here's what I, you know what, Grace, I'm going to have to hold this for the next segment because it's a long recipe, but I'm going to start it. First, you have to cut the tomatoes into thick slabs and liberally season both sides with salt and cracked pepper. This is not the time to be conservative. You got to slather both slices of the white bread with mayonnaise, Duke's, Blue Plate, Miracle Whip, your choice, and gently place the tomatoes on the bread. And then what you need to do is you need to take your sandwich over to a plate, over to the kitchen sink. You need to hunch over the sink and try not to get any of the drippings on your Ole Miss t-shirt. Because a good tomato sandwich is going to drip. That's just the way it goes. I'm telling you. It's not a real tomato sandwich unless you have to lean over the sink and eat it. That's what Congressman Doug Collins said back in the day. Anyway, get yourself a copy of Our Daily Biscuit. It's a fun read. You know, you smile. You don't get mad unless you don't like tomatoes. But you're going to love it. This is the Todd Stern Show. Did it again. I was working on the Instagram, Grace Baker, and I completely lost track of the time.
It's easy to get lost, you know, on social media.
You know what it is? It's Friday. We're going bowling.
Yeah,
with
that's
the
what
whole
you got
crew.
Bowling on the brain.
I do have bowling on the brain. I wonder, you know, there was a bowling alley in New York City where we used to go at Fox, which was in the New York Port Authority bus terminal, and it was a total dive place, but they would bring you these beer towers. Have you ever heard of these things?
No.
They're like 4 feet tall, and they have it's a spigot, and they'll bring it to your table. I'm telling you, it was a dive.
I can picture it.
So anyway, you know, I'm a good Baptist. So I said, they brought the 4 foot tall beer thing out, and I said, can I get one for a Baptist martini? And they said, yeah, we don't do Diet Coke. It'll lose its fizz. You can't drink 4 feet worth of Diet Coke.
That's get a sugar good. Rush, too.
You would get a sugar rush. All right. Welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. By the way, follow us on Instagram and all of our social media platforms, and you can do that over at ToddStarnes.com. I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Big, big, big thing happening tomorrow in Phoenix, Arizona. President Trump heading out to Andy Biggs' country, the great state of Arizona. Congressman, how's it going today?
Well, you know what? We have something we don't usually get here. We got some rain in the desert, my friend.
Is that
rain in the desert?
Now that's a that is a big deal. I mean, when you guys get rain out there,
it is a big deal. It is a big deal. And normally, when it rains here, you get about a half an inch in 20 minutes, and that happens about five or six times a year. But this thing has been going on all day, Todd.
Is that right? So it's you guys have to be enjoying this. It's kind of like us in snow here in Memphis. We just don't get a lot of that.
Yes, exactly. Well, we love it. We love the rain.
So a couple of things here, Congressman. First of all, we're pretty excited. You know, we understand President Trump is going to be speaking at a rally out there in Phoenix, I think Turning Point USA. And that's got to be an exciting thing for the folks there in Arizona.
Yeah, it really is. And we're excited. I told the president, I love his rallies, and he needs to do them. And now that he's coming to Arizona, I think it's just fantastic. And you know what? It always energizes people when he comes. It just always does.
And especially in the middle of this audit, there are some new developments. And I want you to give us an update on what's happening out there.
So the Cyber Ninja guys gave a report to the state Senate and the Senate president. And what they found a number of things, and a lot of this is important. So they're going back through for the third time of these ballots just to make sure their count's right. But they found 74,000 early ballots, and there's questions about those ballots. So the anti-audit people are saying, oh yeah, but those were just early ballots voted on at the election polling places. Well, the reality, Todd, is those are called provisional ballots. And that's part of what is so confusing to everybody is every state, Arizona's no exception, has a ton of little buckets. And these auditors have had to go through each little bucket, figure out where they go and how they work. So you have 74,000 there. There's another 11,000 vote question. You have 37,000 basically communications over that network from one location. They want to get to the bottom of that, but the county says, we're not going to give you the routers. We're not going to give you the passwords. In fact, they say, we don't even have them. We don't have control of them anymore. And that's another problem with elections in America today. They're basically controlled by these private companies. So that's the recent developments. They're going to continue to go, I think, probably get a report out here in a few more weeks.
Congressman, you shared an item on your Twitter feed. We have the story up at our website. Joe Biden was asked a question of a reporter. The reporter asked, and we are not going to play the audio. It's just hard to hear it. But the reporter says, are there people in the Democrat Party who want to defund the police? Biden responded by asking, are there people in the Republican Party who think we're sucking the blood out of kids? Where does he come up with this stuff?
I don't know. Maybe it's Corn Pop or Corn Puff or whoever that dude was that he knew when he was a young lifeguard and the people were rubbing his legs. You just don't know, Todd, where this comes from. But the reality is they've tried to change the narrative, and I think he just got confused about it. I mean, we could talk about his cognitive devolution, if you will, his deterioration, because I think it's real, it's palpable, and I think those of us who've had loved ones that had cognitive, deterioration. We recognize that in him, but the Democrats keep trotting him out there, and that's a crying shame. But the reality is, it is only the Democrats that have tried to defund the police, as they did in the House bill earlier this year. And don't forget, when Joe Biden was campaigning, he suggested diverting money away from policing activities to other areas, and that's a defund as well.
Yeah, hold on, Congressman. I've got to clean up the mess here. I was drinking a cup of coffee when you got off to the rubbing the legs comment. So gotta clean that mess up. My apologies.
I'm so sorry.
It's live radio, folks. It's live radio. But you know, if you were one of the eight people who watched that CNN town hall, according to the ratings, I mean, you really did see a man who was in some sort of a decline. And we had Congressman Greg Murphy on from North Carolina. He is a medical doctor. And we asked him about this yesterday, and he said that he has seen those signs. And he was giving examples, you know, when Biden would whisper, when, you know, the sudden outburst of anger. And, you know, everybody sees this. It's not like the Democrats. They can see this as well. And, Congressman, what is the end game here with all of this?
Well, right now, the theory for them is that Joe Biden remains somewhat popular. So he's about 50% popularity. But the rest of the Democrats and their policies are so unpopular and have had such negative results that if they're going to stay in power, they want to keep this guy in power as their figurehead, as long as they can. Because once Joe Biden goes, and people tend to view him, oh, he's just your old crazy uncle, that type of thing. Once Joe Biden steps out, then the face of the party is Kamala Harris. And quite frankly, the last person the Democrats need as the face of their party but is Kamala Harris. The only people worse than that would be the Squad. And the Squad is dismantling the country, and Biden is too, but he has no idea that he's doing it. Some say. But I think that's why they're doing it. They want to keep him there as long as possible because, you know, once he goes, Todd, the rest of the party is going to be held accountable for just a series of left-wing radical policies that are basically hurting this country.
You know, Congressman, we were talking yesterday and today on this program about that BuzzFeed report that came out regarding the FBI's involvement in the kidnapping plot involving Michigan's governor. And reading through that plot and how involved the FBI agents were, when you go back and you think about Peter Strzok and Lisa Page talking about having the insurance policy to ensure Trump could not get elected, you see the FBI's behavior towards the Trump administration once that plot was thwarted. You do wonder, was the FBI involved in any level on whatever happened on January the 6th? And I think that's a fair question to ask. Am I off base there?
I don't think you're off base. I think a lot of people are the same mind that you are, Todd, including myself. Is I've seen and I've heard rumors. Right now, they're not substantiated, but we can't get answers. And I think it's important to try to get answers.
What are the rumors? What are you hearing?
I'm hearing that there were informers, paid informers, that had infiltrated some of these groups and participated with them in the rioting aspect, not the people who casually entered the White House. I mean, excuse me, the Capitol, but the rioters, the people who were battling the police and whatnot. There were a number of them. Now, those are the rumors that we hear. We can't get substantiation one way or the other, whether that's true. But I think that's something that the FBI needs to come clean on. Just like they need to come clean on the Whitmer thing.
And I think, you know, Capitol Hill, you know, Nancy Pelosi needs to come clean. Okay, fine. You're getting these reports of violence, the possibility of violence, threats, and you tell the police to stand down. I'm wondering, did she reach out to anybody in Republican leadership and say, hey, look, heads up, things could get pretty dicey here. What did they do with that information that they had? Again, it's not adding up here, which is why I'm wondering if there was some sort of a federal involvement in the early stages and the planning stages of all of this.
Yeah, I mean, it raises the questions, doesn't it? Because I have no doubt that Kevin McCarthy would have told Republican members, hey, you know, I'll be careful. He might have actually suggested, you know, some kind of alternative or something. But what did she know? When did she know it? And how did she respond? Those types of questions are there. And so that leads me to the next logical issue, which is that why she's trying to stack this January 6th study commission that she wants done, the so-called independent commission, which isn't very independent. And it's basically already got a black eye before it gets going. Is it to protect Nancy Pelosi and others? And, that's the, that is the appearance right now, and that she's stacking this commission with people who will be favorable to her.
All right. Well, Congressman, we're going to have to leave it there. We're going to be paying close attention to these developments in the coming weeks. Are you going to be at the rally tomorrow?
I sure will, yes.
All right, we'll be looking for you there on Newsmax. They'll be broadcasting the entire rally live. Congressman, always good hearing from you. Have a great weekend. Do you need an umbrella, by the way? We can always ship one out for you.
No, this is weather that we hunker down in our houses for.
I love it. All right, Congressman, hang in there. Stay dry.
Hey, thanks, Doug.
All right, Andy Biggs. You know, Grace, I mean, they really don't get rain there very often.
I can imagine.
He may have been wondering, what's an umbrella? What is an umbrella? It's this covering, you know, have a stick and you pop it open. And when the wind blows,
it
goes inside out and tears.
Oh, my gosh.
In New York City, we had a, we call it a bodega, which is basically a convenience store.
Yes.
And in the lobby of Fox News, we had a bodega. And those guys were awesome. I forget their names. Just great folks. And I would always forget my umbrella, so you'd have to run downstairs, and they would sell cheap $5 umbrellas.
That's good business.
And, oh, my gosh. After a while, they would always squirrel one away for me, like, behind the counter, because I'd always be late to the party, and they would sell. But I would, those things, you walk outside, and they immediately, the wind gets underneath that umbrella, turns it inside out, and kapoofed. You know, there you go.
Hey,
you're out $5.
That's a good business model.
It is a good business
model. See a need, fill a need.
All right, here's our next trivia question. President Joe Biden said he liked walking out of his room in the mornings at the White House. What did he say he was wearing? What was it that Joe Biden said he was wearing when he would walk out of the White House in the mornings? 844-747-8868 is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. What was President Joe Biden wearing in the mornings when he walked out of the White House, the private residence? We'll be right back.
It's Radio Free America. Todd Starnes.
I knew this was going to happen. Grace Baker, I read the recipe. It was an abridged version of the recipe of Todd's homemade Mater sandwiches. First of all, Chuck the engineer, who apparently is a big Star Trek fan because he's dressed as Spock or someone.
I thought I saw that.
I
was like, is that Chuck or is that?
I don't know. I just
Star
walked
Trek
by and just said, live long and prosper, and kept walking. I don't know. Anyway, he wanted to know, Chuck is not from here. I believe he's from Salt Lake City, Utah. And he was asking about the BLT, you know, the bacon, lettuce, tomato sandwich, which I love. Huge fan. He said, Todd, is this true that apparently you guys are going to have to, in the South, they don't have BLTs, they have BLM sandwiches?
Okay. So I want to add to that. My family adds peanut butter.
What?
Yes. Don't knock it till you try it.
That's disgusting.
My husband, when we were dating, thought the same thing. And I made one for him. He goes, this is really good.
BLM. No, we don't do BLM sandwiches here. Jeez aloo. But bacon, lettuce, tomato, and peanut butter.
Producer Kyle says that Elvis made it. So.
Elvis? No, Elvis made really? I thought Elvis made a fried peanut butter.
Now that I'm thinking about it, I think it was banana, not bacon.
Okay, thank you, Kyle. All right, go stand in the corner.
This is why he's not on mic. No, kidding.
Veronica says, hey, Todd. Hey, Michael Phelps is from Maryland. Yes, he is, Veronica, and you should be very proud. A good guy. You know, he went through some tough times.
He did.
And he got out of that. Now he's got married, 3 kids, by the way. Just a good guy.
Yep.
Good guy. Hey, let's go to the phones real quick. Bev in Salem, Oregon on KYKN. A lot of KYKN callers today. Bev, hope you're doing good. Do we have Bev with us?
Yes, I'm here.
All right, Bev. All right. Well, here we go. Let's get to the business at hand. We want to know, President Biden talked about walking out of his room in the mornings. What was he wearing, Bev?
His robe.
All right, let's go to the tape on this.
I think all of the
all the help that's there, providing meals and all the rest, I think they love us. You say, don't come in for breakfast. We can get our own breakfast because I like to walk out of my robe and go in.
All right, Beth, guess what? You are the winner. Congratulations, Bev. How? By the way, how are you liking the show there on KYKN?
Very much. Thank you very much for all you're doing and sharing and informing us about.
Well, you're so kind to say that, and we're going to be working with the radio station there. We're going to try to get out and do a book event there in Salem, and because we would love to meet all of our listeners out there on the West Coast. I want you to hang tight. Grace is going to get your info, and we're going to send you a lovely prize in the mail. By the way, folks, if you haven't already done so, you got to check out Mike Lindell's all-new towels. Everything Mike does is just so well done. He's really revolutionized the way we sleep in America. And now he's got these great towels that are incredible, and they are made with USA cotton. And they also come with the MyPillow 60-day money-back guarantee. But you're not going to need that guarantee. You're going to hold on to these towels forever. Now, look, here's the deal. Just for our listeners, you are getting an incredible deal this week. Normally, the towels over $100, you're going to be able to get them for $39.99. You get two towels, you're going to get two bath towels, two hand towels, and two washcloths, all made with USA cotton. They are soft yet absorbent. All you need to do is go to MyPillow.com and click on the new radio listener special. You're going to get deep discounts on all MyPillow products, including the towels. All you have to do is enter the promo code STARNS, MyPillow.com, promo code STARNS, or you can call 800-839-8506 for some incredible, great radio specials. Thanks to our good friend Mike Lindell, a true friend of this program, and he loves our listeners. Well, folks, we want to remind all of you the big book tour starts next week, the first leg of it, and we're starting today in Memphis, Tennessee. We would love to see you out at Andy B's having a big bowling event. Come out and say hello to the whole Todd Starnes Show team. We're going to be out here next week, Gainesville, Georgia, Hendersonville, North Carolina. Next Saturday, the Billy Graham Library. I want to thank our great team here, JP and Kyle. Also, the lovely Grace Baker and Avery, who's on the DL today. Get better, Avery. Folks, have a great Friday. And whatever you do, be sure to go to church this weekend. Be good, America.